And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
This is Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Tucson.
Jeff Arias.
Yes, Frederico.
And we are here celebrating the people, the places, the events, the history and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful.
That's right. And it's a beautiful day today.
It's a beautiful day today. And if you want to know what's going
on. My head hurts a little bit.
Why?
Well, I think I might have had one too many cocktails last night at the Centurion event.
You know, I know I had more than one too many cocktails last night.
That was a good time.
But yeah, I stick with tequila, so I've never had any issues with my friend tequila.
Yeah, well, you're one of the few.
No, it's like mother's milk to me.
Yeah, all right, but whatever, Fred.
Yeah, tequila and cigars, that was...
That is such a bad visual for me.
What, tequila and cigars?
You and tequila and mother's milk.
Oh.
Bad visual. That makes bad radio.
Well, okay. Then why even say it, Jeff? Why even go there? So we did have a good time at the Centurion Party last night, and that is, you know, we talked about it over the last few weeks as a huge event supporting the folks at Carondelet, the St. Mary's St. Joseph Hospital, and the kids with the Centurions put on one heck of a party every year.
Yeah, yeah. Good times. And thanks for coming down.
And it's cool because it's, you know, once again, like last year, it was down in the downtown Tucson, which we love going down there. And even with the construction that's going on, no hassles.
People got in and out. Yeah.
Parking was great.
It was. It was very nice. So just a couple of weeks ago when we had the Downtown Tucson Partnership on, they were right. Tons of parking.
They're always right.
Great vibe down 15, there.
15,000
so
spots. 15,000 yeah. spots.
So we got a great show today.
Yeah.
And we got a little history today. We've got a little arts today. We've got a little fundraising today. So it's going to be a good show.
Yeah. And if you want to hear past shows, you can go to our website, which is fredandjeff.com. We have all the shows we've ever done. Some we're proud of, like this one we will be proud of.
Right.
Others that are funny to listen to.
Right.
In our
we're
early
proud
days.
Proud of all of them.
Our early days.
Yeah, we're proud of all of them. there maybe is one clunker out there, but.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we know which one that is.
Yeah, so, but if you do, don't let us know.
Well, maybe
you'll probably hurt our feelings because it's probably different than the one we think.
The trivia question, which was our most awful show?
Yeah, that's a bad trivia question, Fred. What do you win with that? Nothing.
That's true.
So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, so there's pictures, old shows, and also the event button. If you go to upcoming events, you can get a link to the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau site where they have a brilliant calendar that shows you things coming up over the course of the next few months. But some of the fun stuff coming up right now, well, actually today is the last day for the 2012 U.S. Olympic team qualifying trials being held out at the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club. It's open to the public. You can go out there and see our Olympians who will be heading to London later this year. And that's they've been doing it since, I think, the 17th. But they've been shooting their hearts out at the Trap and Skeet Club. Wyatt Earp Days down in Tombstone start next weekend, the 26th, and go next weekend, the 26th to the 28th. And you go and hang out in the city, the Too Tough to Die, and learn a bit of Wyatt Earp history, including OK Corral stuff. 100 years of Arizona's best minerals that made the state. The University of Arizona Mineral Museum has an ongoing exhibit celebrating our centennial, our state centennial, and they have all sorts of minerals that have been found in bountiful amounts throughout the state, help made this place a wonderful economic engine. And then just typical other stuff, the Stewart Observatory has its mirror labs, and I think those are going through the end of summer, and just call the Stewart Observatory and make reservations.
I think the point you're trying to make is
there's tons of stuff going on.
Lots and lots and lots of stuff going on. And on top of that, if there's more, and if you want to find out, a great resource is to go to the Metropolitan Tucson Visitor and Convention Bureau's website, MTCVB.
Say that three times
fast. I screwed it up. I know I did. But MTCVB's website, visittucson.org, and look at the events page, and they split them off by month. There's tons of stuff going on. So check that out. And if you miss past shows, check out fredandjeff.com. Please support our sponsors because these fabulous folks are the ones that make our show.
And if you want to be in the newsletter, send me an email at fred@fredandjeff.com. And also keep that email address handy because later on in the show, we'll be giving away a dozen roses from our friends, the Coleman family at Mayfield Florists.
Right, who I'm sure just got crushed on Mother's Day.
Good, good
time.
For them.
Yeah, they did a couple weeks ago.
And Don does this every, near every Mother's Day, but two, three weeks ago, they provided an opportunity for guys to make sure that they did the right thing on Mother's Day for not only their mothers, but for their wives who are the mothers of their children. They had a guys' night out, food, some adult beverages, some cigars, and, helping guys select the right gifts for their mothers.
That's right. And if you had signed up for the Fred and Jeff newsletter, you would have gotten a 20% off coupon to go to that guy's night out and get some beautiful flowers for your favorite mother. So there's always good reasons to sign up for that Fred and Jeff
newsletter.
How many
mothers do you have, Jeffrey?
I have one, Fred.
Okay.
I know a lot of mothers, but I only have one, Fred.
Okay.
All right, so we'll be right back with our fabulous guests, so stick around.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Why are we proud to live in Tucson?
Because our tapestry of heritage and culture attracts interest from around the world.
While our vibrant community of artists lifts our spirits and sparks our imagination.
Because downtown Tucson is coming to life.
Because you can dress down for the rodeo in the morning and dress up for the theater at night.
Because an army of entrepreneurs and small business owners help fuel our economy.
This is my Tucson, and together we thrive. Burger.
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why Monkey Burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey Burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the history, the people, the places, the events. And Jeff, you, before the break, you were saying that we're going to get a little history lesson. So,
well, that's exactly right, Fred.
Professor Jeffrey.
Well, I am getting my information from the Arizona Historical Society, but mostly through the Pima County Public Library website. And the header on this page is Carnegie's Gift. And what it says is that in 1883, when Andrew Carnegie, who was a billionaire industrialist from back east, was offering land and money to cities that wanted to build libraries, Tucson Mayor Charles Moses Strauss seized the opportunity. And at the time, Tucson had a small library at City Hall. And what happened was the construction started in 1900, and it started on the Carnegie Free Library of Tucson. And there's a lot of great pictures. There's a ton more information. They had a fire in the 20s, all kinds of stuff. But what I think is amazing is back in the late 1800s, what Andrew Carnegie did, the gift that he gave to our community, is still giving. And what does that mean?
Well, we no longer have the Carnegie Library. We have the Carnegie Library building.
Right.
But we now have the Children's Museum of Tucson.
That's right.
And with us today, Valerie Greenhill, the president of the board,
mm-hmm.
From the Children's Museum, and Mike Loria, who is the executive director.
Hello.
Former restaurateur, now taking care of kids.
Exactly.
Former restaurateur? What does that mean?
Oh, spent many, many years in the restaurant business.
All right.
So my family and I were behind Cafe Terracotta and then Terracotta.
Yeah, classic restaurant in the Tucson region.
That's right. Yeah, we miss it.
Yeah.
We miss it. So the Children's Museum of Tucson is a fabulous, fabulous institution here. It's great.
It's fantastic. It's such an honor and a pleasure to work there and be part of it. And it is a great place for children and families in our community to come and play, learn, grow, discover.
And that's kind of the new thing. If you're gonna play, you might as well learn at the same time.
Well, and learning and development takes place from play. And frankly, it's the job of childhood is to play. And through that process, you learn and grow and discover and try out the world, if you will.
So tell us how this wonderful thing happened. How did we get this great children's museum in the Carnegie Free Library?
Well, I'll start with how we got a great children's museum. In 1986, three prominent Tucsonans, notably all women, got together and said, our community needs and deserves a place that is dedicated to children and families in our community. And that was Dorothy Finley, Evelyn Carswell Bing, and Seal Peterson. So they created the children's museum, and it opened up in a one-room building in Fort Lowell Park in 1986, and then it moved around for a little bit. And in 1990, when the city of Tucson moved the main library out of the Carnegie on South 6th Avenue to its current location, the building became available, and there was a public discussion and forum as to who and what the use of the Carnegie would become. And the Children's Museum was nominated to take over the Carnegie, and in 1991, we moved in and took over.
That's great. That was a great, great decision. Great decision. So how has the museum changed since day one? Do you remember what exhibits were there initially?
Well, honestly, it was before I had children, so I was not privy to what the Children's Museum looked like back then. But I will tell you that I have been involved with the Children's Museum since 2003, and even in that relatively short period of time, it has changed dramatically. And both then and even in the last couple years, I mean, we're on the cusp of the newest, most exciting and interactive exhibit in our 26-year history.
Now, what could be more exciting than dinosaurs? I mean, when my kids were little, and I have to admit I've been there a while because they're now teens, and they're past their prime for the museum, but they had gorgeous dinosaurs that push buttons and they come roaring down on you, and also, I mean, almost everything in there was interactive. They had a fire truck that you can play around on, and all that kind of stuff.
I think it really just depends on how you define, kind of what interactivity is in these kinds of exhibits. So that's one of the big things that has changed, right, in the last 10 years, what you can expect to do when you're in an environment like that and what kind of interactivity you do has changed. Just the expectations have changed. So the dinosaurs, which have been super popular, I mean, my girls loved going there when they were little, right, and pushing the buttons and seeing them move around.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes, they go through that phase where they're really terrified to go in the room because it's kind of dark and the dinosaurs are really big. But when you think about what they're doing when they're in there, they're pushing buttons and they're watching things move, right?
Yeah.
So what's going in that space now, which thanks to Angel Charity and the grant that we got from them, we're putting in a cutting-edge, state-of-the-art science, technology, engineering, and math exhibit where—and Michael can talk a little bit about the specifics of that exhibit that we're opening this summer. But we're super excited about it because kids will be in there interacting with devices that teach them things about the way air moves, the way sound moves, concepts that are hard to describe when you're sitting there listening to someone describe, quote-unquote teach you about
it. It's easier to do it than to talk about it or read it.
Right, and there's less of that just sort of standing back and watching something happen over there. You're actually interacting with it, making it change, and you're noticing what's happening in the device itself, and you're starting to grasp these concepts no matter how old you are, right?
Right.
So this spans a pretty large age range that will be attracted to this kind of play.
Now, is this the investigation station?
That's exactly right. Investigation Station is our new STEM exhibit. And it actually is open now. We're in our soft opening, so we're kind of getting our settling in and all of that. But it is absolutely fantastic, and it really is the most unique and exhilarating exhibit that the museum's had in its history.
That's very cool. Now, before, you guys have tons of exhibits. You've got the Ocean Discovery Center. You've got this new investigation station, Electric City, Build It. But before we start talking about all these really, real cool exhibits, I still wanted to talk a little bit about Seal Peterson and Dorothy Finn. I mean, a lot of people, most people don't know that the first time Fred and I did our show was the day that Seal Peterson passed away. And we kind of consider ourselves to be, you know, those ambassadors, like what Seal used to do, where she would go and she would help people understand that we live in such a fabulous community.
Yeah, she was a great ambassador for Tucson, for Southern Arizona.
Absolutely.
Northern Sonora. I mean, she was a great lady.
And this show, we hope, represents what she wanted to tell people about all these great things that happen in our community and the people that put them together. So I want to kind of get back to the roots of the Children's Museum because, you know, not to put too fine of a point on it, but when we were kids back in the 70s, when we got to go to a museum here in Tucson, it was to look, not to touch.
Yeah, and I mean, the biggest museum that we had access to was on campus was the University of Arizona History Museum.
That's right.
I mean, it's still there.
It's still a fabulous museum.
Yeah, and it was full of dioramas and exhibits, but nothing you can touch. Nothing you can interact with. It was all, you know, look at the whatever it was and read the sign.
So when did this whole interactive museum concept start?
Well, I think that the idea of an interactive or certainly a children's museum, you know, started decades and decades ago. In fact, the oldest children's museum in the country is Brooklyn. The Brooklyn Children's Museum is the oldest, and Indianapolis is probably number two. And they were always focused on kids and creating an environment where kids could touch and play and interact, but that's changed even more dramatically in the last 10 years. The degree of interactivity, if you will, has really been amped up over these last couple of years because there's a much greater understanding. There's a lot more research that can illustrate the points or the connections that kids make by actually doing versus just being observant or even just a ancillary participant. You really want to get them in there and engage and also give them an opportunity to engage and interact on an exhibit with their parents or grandparents or caregivers.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a great point. Because when mom and dad have programs and projects like that to do with their children, it strengthens that bind of parent and child.
Absolutely. And, you know, and parents, we like to be kids too, and we need to be
Absolutely.
Given an opportunity to be a kid. I think sometimes as parents, we're our own worst enemies in sort of taking away the fun and the idea of just playing, you know, out of our environment. And that's unfortunate because we all need that and benefit from it.
So how many people go through the Children's Museum a year?
Last year, we had 127,000 visitors through the Children's Museum, and that's an increase of about 33% over the last 3 years.
Wow, that's great.
So attendance has been super strong, and I think this year we anticipate being closer to 140,000, maybe even a little bit higher than that.
So let me ask you a question. A couple, 3 weeks ago, we had Mike Fader on from the Tucson Padres, and their mantra now is that if everybody in Tucson just came to a Padres game one time, they would set records. That should be the same with the Children's Museum. If everybody in Tucson came to the Children's Museum just once, it'd blow your mind. I mean,
Absolutely.
It's an amazing place.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, if you have young children and you come just once, I'm willing to guarantee you'll come back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Our kids are 9 and 8 now, and we've probably been 30 times. It's an amazing place.
Yeah.
So good for you. So the history of the museum, you guys had these wonderful women that helped you get that museum there,
mm-hmm.
and you're growing and growing and growing. Who funds all this stuff?
Great question. Well, we get our funding from a variety of sources. About 45% of our budget is earned income. So we earn that through admissions and memberships.
Is it expensive to come?
It depends on your frame of reference point. I would say no. It's an investment in your child and your family's bonding time and education. Family memberships are $85 a year, which I think is a tremendous value. So for $85 a year, you can come as often as you like and participate in all of our events and activities and take part in all the new exhibits. If you want to come on just a single visit, it's $8 for adults, $6 for kids and seniors, and then under 2 are free.
So you lump the seniors with the kids.
Well, we
good
do.
For you.
Yeah. Everybody
Fred
needs
will
a break.
Soon enjoy that. Fred will soon enjoy those discounts.
Yes, I will.
That's great. And so you guys, so general admission.
Actually, do you still do the Sundays?
We're open on Sundays.
No, I mean, like, once, I remember there was, like, free Sundays.
Well, that's a great point. So one of the things that's really important to the Children's Museum is accessibility to the community, because we really believe strongly that the opportunity for children and their families to come and play and spend quality time and learn, you know, really ought to be a right, not a privilege. However, saying that, we still have to charge admission, and we still rely on, we have to earn some of our income and pay our bills and all of those things. But in order to make the museum more accessible, we strive that 10 to 15% of the days open a year are either free or reduced admission. So right now, the second Saturday of every month is a $2 admission day. So you can do that. And we're launching today, in fact, is our very first Science Sundays. Every Sunday between now and September 2nd will be Science Sundays, which goes along with our new Investigation Station exhibit. And it'll be $2 admission all day long on Sundays, all summer long, and we'll be doing STEM-based programming. So we'll have activities that are focused on science, technology, engineering, mathematics.
Okay, that's what STEM stands for.
Yes.
How did you come up with STEM?
STEM is a just sort of an understood term in education circles.
No. Term by whom?
Well, you know, educators, people who do that. So, and so STEM is really a buzzword right now when it comes to K-12 education, because there is a lot of conversation in this country about how you encourage more students to go into science and technology and engineering, you know, kinds of career tracks and pathways for college. And so, in museums and in communities all over the United States, the question is, how do you as a community encourage that kind of curiosity among children? And you can start, obviously, with really, really young kids. And so anytime children are engaged, they're learning a great deal. And so one of the key aspects of the new exhibit, and in some of the programming that Michael's talking about, related to STEM, is really geared to excite children about learning these kinds of subjects, you know, just the principles of science, and getting them engaged in technology and engineering. And it's really not that hard to do, because it's basically the essence of what kids love to do, which is build things, try things, test things, you know, get messy and figure out how things work. It's just a natural part of being a curious person. So when we try to create these kinds of STEM exhibits or experiences for the children who visit the museum, it really is focused on that, although I don't think any of the kids would describe it as a science lesson, right? They're just,
well, that's the,
they're
that's
going
the
and
beauty
playing.
Of it.
Right, exactly. And the parents, the same thing, right? So the opportunity for these children to learn and engage and play without ever feeling like they're being made to do anything, because they're directing it,
it's
they're enjoying
trickery.
It, you know? I mean, that's really what, you know, what we want to inspire them to do.
Well, and if you're inspiring kids to get interested in math and science by playing, that's amazing. That is an amazing, amazing thing. And I think, and this, because we've got to take a hard break at the bottom of the hours for the news in about a minute or so, but the second part of the show, we want to talk more about your background, because you really have a big background in education. And I think what's interesting here is the collaboration, not only between the museum and the community as far as science, but the museum and your board, because you've got a lot of highly educated people on your board that have a lot of input on what it is that you guys are putting out there for the rest of us to interact with. And that kind of that whole process of how you put that together is very intriguing to me. And I think you guys out there might like to hear about that too. So, Fred, we got to take a break.
Yeah, we do.
And we got to pay some bills and listen to the news.
Yes, we do.
So, folks, stick around with us here on the Fred and Jeff Show, because we've got a great, great, great interview today with the folks from the Children's Museum of Tucson. By the way, what's your guys' website?
It is children's/museumtucson.org.
And today, so it's 11:30 right now. Are you guys open for the...
We are for Science Sundays till 5 o'clock.
Science Sunday today, so hop in your car if you're not in and head down to the Children's Museum, and you can listen to the second half of the show when you're on your way down there. So stick around, folks. We'll be right back with the second half of the show.
President Obama says the nation... NATO alliance that's fought for a decade in Afghanistan is now helping the country shift towards stability and peace. The president speaking today as the NATO summit opens in Chicago. Hundreds are expected along the lakefront this afternoon to protest the meetings, and ABC's Aaron Katursky says not all of their demands are meant to be peaceful.
Chicago police believe they've disrupted at least three planned attacks during the NATO summit. The most recent involved a Chicago man accused of planning to build a crude firebomb. Another case involved a self-proclaimed anarchist police said knew how to make a pipe bomb. These are distinct from the arrests of three others jailed for allegedly plotting attacks on Obama campaign headquarters, the mayor's house, and police stations here.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in Chicago. Scotland's government says it will continue to investigate the bombings of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland, even though the only man convicted of carrying out the crime, Libyan Abdel Besset al-Megrahi, has now died. He was released from prison 3 years ago on humanitarian grounds. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC.
I'm meteorologist Aaron Brackett here. Kind of a warm day today. Temperatures in the mid to upper 90s for this afternoon. And don't forget the solar eclipse happening right around 5:30. Do not look directly at the sun. Beyond that, some heat is on the way. We're talking 104 by the time we get to your Tuesday. For 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM, I'm meteorologist Aaron Brackett.
Jim Ronstadt. Over 100 years ago, my grandfather established Ronstadt Hardware in the heart of the Old Pueblo. The Ronstadts were a pioneer family during the growth of a fledgling city, and his store was founded on hard work, craftsmanship, and good service.
This is Jeff Ronstadt, and I am proud to carry on the family tradition with my dad at Ronstadt Insurance. In these trying economic times, you may have many questions about your health care and what's on the horizon. You may be asking questions like, how do I enroll in a Medicare plan and how much will it cost? Are my prescription drugs covered? And what will my out-of-pocket cost be?
If you are confused about Medicare, call us at 721-4848 and we will help you make a confident decision about your Medicare benefits. We are insurance agents licensed by the state of Arizona and we would be honored to assist you.
That's Ronstadt Insurance. Call us at 721-4848. We are pioneers in good service.
Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Are you planning a special event or celebration? Call Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. It's no wonder why the Tucson Festival of Books relies on Arizona Party Rental. They maintain high standards for all of their products and deliver five-star service.
Hi, this is Andy Brown, Vice President of A-Team Security and Event Services. I've been in the special event business now for 20 years, and nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental. They have the largest selection of equipment, friendliest staff, and they really care about making your event special.
My name is Rebecca Guthrie, and I would highly recommend Arizona Party Rental to anyone who needs anything that has to do with parties or events. They are very friendly and make you feel like family, and that your event is just as important to them as it is to you.
Hey, thanks. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Make Arizona Party Rental your celebration destination. Visit our new showroom on Speedway and check us out on Facebook.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff Arias.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are talking about the Children's Museum of Tucson, which is a gem in this community. And we're talking with Michael Loria, who is the executive director, and Valerie Greenhill, who is the president of the board of directors, the all-powerful ruling board of directors at the Children's Museum of Tucson. And as you know, as a very Jeff and I always, or Jeff teases me a lot about the physical stuff I do. I just did this Warrior Dash, it's a mud run, and all these kind of things. But I'm interested in what kind of things you're doing at the museum with the Bodyology for the kids. I want to see a mud run over at the museum. Mm-hmm.
Well, we can make that an event outdoors in the courtyard, perhaps. Sounds like an outdoor kind
of. We could share our event. That would be great.
Yeah, they just go over a wall right into a mud pit and then straight into a parent's car.
And then we'll hose them off, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I think is interesting, and we talked about it during the break, was how Fred is so sad that the dinosaurs are gone.
Oh, yeah.
And you were sharing with us that.
Well, I got to tell you something, because our mayor, former mayor, actually helped build those dinosaurs.
Yes, he did.
And I remember doing all that stuff, and now they're gone.
The dinosaurs were fantastic, and I have to tell you, when they were installed in the museum all those years ago, they were only meant to last a couple years. We got about 12 wonderful years out of them, and they were great, but it is time for a change, and so that's what we're doing. And you know, the museum has really evolved over these last 3 to 5 years, and we've made with the board's direction and their input and guidance, we've made a very conscientious decision to upgrade and enhance the museum. And really, if you look at the last 3 to 4 years, about 75% of the museum has been completely renovated with new exhibits, new lighting, wall coverings, flooring, things like that. But most importantly, new exhibits, including Bodyology.
Yeah,
which
we'll talk about that just for a second. You know what exactly it is, because these things are not only educational, but they're important for the long-term health and, you know, mental health, spiritual health, physical health of these kids.
Well, in addition to addressing things that are not only educational but fun, we also want to address the issues of the day. So we talked earlier about STEM and how important that is to educating our children, but health and wellness in our community and for our community's children is critically important, which is why we introduced this past fall Bodyology. It is our health and wellness exhibit. It is a more holistic approach to health and wellness. So when you go into Bodyology, you'll see a variety of components. You will see an orchard where you can pick fruit from trees. You'll have a vegetable garden. You will have a juice bar and a grocery store. There's also a body wall where there's a giant ear, eye, nose, mouth, and lungs.
And I love the nose because I think it's allergy season.
Yes.
And it actually has a huge booger that you can pull on.
Oh, Fred. Yeah, that's my point.
So it's allergy totally
season.
Built for Fred.
The kids love it. Yeah. Daddy, must be allergy season. Look at that giant moco.
It's a great, fun, interactive exhibit, but it's also teaching things. Kids don't necessarily today understand where food comes from. It doesn't come from the grocery store down the aisle.
Or McDonald's.
You have to grow it. And so being able to show them that fruit comes from trees or vegetables come from the garden, I think is really important. And Bodyology, along with many of our other exhibits, we also have a school tour that is built around that. The museum offers school tours. We call them adventure learning tours. About 7 different tours you can take as a class. We see over 10,000 students a year. So Bodyology is critically important, and it's not the only way that we talk about health and wellness in the Children's Museum. We also have programming. We have something called We Move. And We Move is a physical fitness class for kids 3, 4, and 5. It's funded by a grant from the Institute of Museum and Library Services. It's run by our early childhood education specialist, and it's trying to get kids excited about physical fitness from the very earliest age so it becomes a lifelong habit.
That's great. That's great, because we all know the last thing we need are chubby Americans. We've got to all trim up. And looking at Fred, Mr. Lost 65 pounds, you're a walking testament to that. Good job.
Well, yeah, because I was at the Children's Museum taking these classes. Those 3-year-olds are smart, man. I was having a hard time keeping up.
Well, it's always been that way, right?
Pretty much.
And, you know, that's such a good point about wellness, because we've had this conversation on the board about how when children learn about health and wellness, they often influence their parents and their siblings and their aunts and their uncles. And we've all seen that, those of us who are raising children in this community, how much our children teach us about how to do things better, do things the right way. They love.
Yeah, they
you
become
know,
the big sheriff in
they,
the house. They're like,
they do.
I just learned.
Right. And
I just learned, Dad, you shouldn't smoke cigars. Well.
We're going to take you out of that school.
So, Valerie, you're the president of the board.
Yes.
What's your background?
Well, my background is in education, and so I work on a lot of things related to improving education systems so that kids, you know, are prepared for life and citizenship and work in the 21st century. And so one of the things I love about volunteering at the Children's Museum is how focused it is on engaging whole families in learning and playing together. I think that if any of us think about the times in our life where we really learned something cool that stuck with us for the rest of our lives, very few people, when I ask this question, when I speak at events and things like that, very few people raise their hand and describe sitting in a class as a moment that they really remember as being a huge learning experience for them, right?
That's
so I bet
true.
If you each think about that in your life, you know, something that's really stuck with you, some big lesson, some big something that has taught you something important in your life that you carry around with you today, it's almost always something that you did that you described that was fun, probably that you did with people that you really cared about or who you knew cared about you, family, friends, something that was relevant to your life and something that you were really interested in.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell my kids that the best way to learn is to achieve. And so if you're going to get an A on a spelling test, it's just not going to happen. You've got to study for it to achieve that A. And it's interesting to see how things in my life, and Fred, you probably feel the same way, is the things that we achieve, how we achieve those things, those stick with us. And I agree with you. It's not sitting in a classroom.
No, it's always,
per se.
It's always the path.
Which is no disrespect to anybody who's a teacher, because teachers struggle with that too, right?
Sure.
So they're always trying to think about how do we make this more engaging? What are we doing? So on the board, what we're, you know, in addition to just financially trying to make sure that the museum is a sustainable place, which we'll get to in a minute, and we'll talk about some of the events that we're teeing up, but the board is really interested in this question of how do we nurture families to learn and play together and by strengthening the families in Tucson who are investing, you know, in the children of our community, we are improving our community. And we do that partly through thinking about it from an education point of view, but it's also thinking about, you know, what we're doing to strengthen downtown and how we're strengthening the children and the community through families.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, brilliant that you have your discount day tied in with all the major activities in the downtown area.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a huge part.
Because it is not only you have an opportunity for education, you know, the SLY education at the museum, but then you also help people, families, realize that we have a gem in the middle of the city with the downtown and how much more there is to do as a family in that big area.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, I mean, it's all tied together.
So let's you've got tons of exhibits, tons. We've touched on the new one. We touched on Bodyology. But the one that is intriguing to me is the aquarium exhibit.
The Ocean Discovery?
Right.
And the touch tank. Ocean Discovery is actually one of our older exhibits. It's been there for a little while. But we've had a couple new additions. We have a research submarine, so kids can go in there and role play in the submarine, and that's always very popular. But probably the star right now is we have a touch tank, a saltwater aquarium. And we have about 25 sea creatures in there. And once a day, we do what we call a daily touch. So we bring out a small tank, and we take one of the sea creatures out of the big tank and put it in the small one, and kids can come up, or kids of all ages can come and touch it. And we also have a school tour built around the touch tank as well. It's very popular.
What kind of creatures are we talking about here?
I assume like a starfish. But
oh, you should have asked me to bring our early childhood education specialist. She's the expert on the sea creatures. You know, we have some, we have all sorts of urchins, and we have the cleaning shrimp, and
there's a sea cucumber.
Yeah, there's sea cucumber.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No underwater dinosaurs. I'm sorry.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Fred's really reeling from that lack of dinosaurs.
Yeah, but the sea cucumbers always just freak me out.
Wonder why.
They're so cool, though.
No. And then the other thing that I think is so interesting here in the Sonoran Desert is not only the aquarium, but you have a rainforest exhibit as well.
Yes, that's called We World. That is the Enchanted Rainforest. We call it We World. It is our room that is specially designed and if you will, restricted for kids 5 and under. It's for our youngest visitors and their families. So everything's a little softer. The padding on the floor is a little thicker, and everything in it is sort of softscape. So no, the littlest ones aren't going to get hurt playing and exploring, because you have little kiddos that are just learning to walk. And it's a very soothing environment. The staff always tease that if they're going to go take a nap, that's where they're going to go. it is probably the most Disney-esque room that we have. I mean, because the way the murals on the walls and the music and the lighting. But it's a great place, and it's very, very popular.
Oh, I bet you it's popular. And then what about the Pet Vet?
Pet Vet is great. I mean, what child doesn't want to be a veterinarian at some stage in their life and doesn't love animals. So it's an opportunity to come and find your favorite stuffed animal and take it out of its little kennel, and you can weigh it. You can pretend like you're grooming it and washing it. There's a little x-ray table where you can hold up an x-ray. It's great role-playing. Role-playing. And we have smocks so that and stethoscopes so the kids can dress up like a veterinarian. It's great fun. It's a fun little room.
So you really do have something for just about every child's fascination or their want that you could bring kid, because, you know, siblings aren't the same.
That's right.
You know, some kids like something that their brothers and sisters don't. So you can bring the whole family, and there's something there for everything.
Absolutely. I mean, we have an art studio, which is great for that creative side. We have public safety, where we have a police motorcycle and the cab of a Tucson fire truck.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
And in just a couple short weeks, we're going to have a brand new ambulance going into public safety. It's going to be a three-quarter scale ambulance. You'll be able to sit in the front seat. You'll be have interactive components in the back of the ambulance. It's going to be fantastic.
We call that an ambulance.
Ambulance. All right. All right, folks. Last break. Last quick break. We'll be back in about a minute and a half to finish our show with the fabulous people from the Children's Museum of Tucson. So stick around.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
Shelby, how does Five Star give back to its customers?
Existing monthly pest control customers who refer a friend to us receive a discount on their next service.
How about your current termite treatment customers?
When a customer's home is treated for termites, they refer a friend who has their home treated, they will receive an additional year of service on their termite contract.
Wow, that could add up to over $1,000 in savings.
Yes, it can. Log on to our website for details on our customer rewards program.
Five Star, the natural choice. 886-0045. FiveStarTermite.com.
When Jeff and I are looking for a good cigar, we head over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium.
That's right, Fred. They have a great selection, knowledgeable staff, a comfortable environment. It's the perfect place to buy a cigar for any time.
Three convenient locations, one at Oracle and McGee, one at Crossroads Festival at Swan and Grant, and their new location at Williams Center at Craycroft and Broadway.
Come on over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium, get your cigar, and you might even run into Fred and I, and you can tell us why you love Tucson.
Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little baby brother, Jeffy.
Hello, everybody.
And, you know, during the break, we were talking about how when we were little kids, we used to run around the Carnegie when it was actually the library. And now our kids are running around the Carnegie, and it's a wonderful museum. And,
yeah.
And I remember what we used to take them to some programs down there. Like camps, and, you know, they go in and they'd have interactive kind of class things. What kind of stuff are you guys doing now?
We have some great programs. We talked a little bit earlier about We Move, our physical fitness class. We also have something called We Play. It is a school readiness early childhood education class run by our specialist. It's five times a week. It's about 20 to 25 minutes. And it is dance, literacy, music, movement. It's getting kids up and active, and it is both parent or caregiver and child together. So that's a great class.
That sounds kind of like doing the Fred and Jeff show.
Yeah,
parent and caregiver.
Oh. I was going to say we were both kids, and our guests are usually all right.
So, all right, come on, guys, let's go. Yeah. So those are great classes.
So that's a great ongoing program that we do week in, week out. Then, of course, we're basically summertime here in the desert, and so we've got camp, and we have a camp program that runs from June 4th through July 30th, and every week has a different theme. So we're going to kick off the season on June 4th with its edible science. Then we have other themes like Out of This World, Digging Dinosaurs, so Fred. Let's Get Moving, Creepy Crawly Creatures. We have a culinary camp. We have a food camp this year.
Wait, what are the ages for these camps?
Camps are available for kids age 4 to 6, and the culinary camp is good for kids 6 to 8.
Oh, that's great.
And I know these camps are popular. And
they're very popular.
They book out pretty quick.
They're a lot of fun. You can find out all the details on our website, so you can get more detailed information about what we're offering every week.
What's
that website?
It's Children's Plural Museum Tucson.org.
Okay.
Children's Plural Museum. Who's the culinary thing, Michael?
We're working with the Tucson Originals, and we have a different chef and a different theme every day.
So you're not going to be in there?
No, they don't let me do that anymore.
Well, you were telling us off the air a minute ago that one of the programs you have is with Janos.
Yes, we have a garden on the grounds of the museum. It's called Andra's Garden, and it is right out front inside the courtyard of the museum. And all the produce that is cultivated out of the garden goes down to Janos's downtown kitchen and cocktails, which is just not even 100 yards from the museum store.
Yeah, it is just
right
down the street.
And it goes into a dish. And then a dollar from the sale of that dish comes back to support programming at the museum. So it's a great collaboration with a great chef.
That's wonderful.
And Giannis has been very involved in selecting the plants that are grown, obviously, and a lot of them are native species to the Southwest. And so it's a really great way for kids to learn, too, about the kinds of things that grow.
They can sit here and see the garden, walk down the street and say,
say, pour me a gin martini, right, Fred?
Yeah, the three-year-olds maybe not.
No mom and dad.
Yeah, no, I'd say tequila. Come on, we need to keep our themes, you know.
Right. So you guys have other programs?
Those are the ones that we do kind of week in, week out. But then we have special events. And so like in the fall, we're going to have a Love of Literacy weekend where it's all about literacy. We're doing something also. And that's in September. In October, we have FAME, which stands for Family, Arts, and Musical Experience. So that's a one-day event, which will be fantastic.
So we'd be like dancing in the street like the movie?
A little bit of that. We nice if you get kids together. It's like dancing in the street.
Oh, yeah.
Controlled mayhem. And we just had a spring arts block party a few weeks back, and so that was great. And we had the U of A pep band out, and so it was very fun and engaging. So we try to create these different kinds of special programs or events on an ongoing basis throughout the year.
Now, you said one thing earlier that I want you to say again. You guys have changed so much over the last 5 years that if you've got a 12-year-old and you came to the Children's Museum 5 years ago and you've got younger kids, give you a second chance.
You absolutely need to come back. You would not recognize the Children's Museum. There is very little remaining that was in place maybe 5 years ago. We talked earlier about Ocean Discovery. That is probably the only exhibit that is truly the same as it was, with the exception of the touch tank 5 years ago. Everything else has been updated and refreshed and improved.
That's great. That's great. So how do we pay for all this stuff other than admission?
Well, that's a great question. And in addition to admission or grants, there's always donations. We're always happy to have more fans supporting the Children's Museum. But we also do fundraisers, and we have one coming up. We have, there's direct fundraisers and indirect. So the Meet Me Downtown 5K Run Walk is happening on Saturday, June 2nd, and the Children's Museum Tucson is a beneficiary. So go out and support that race, that run, and your support will translate and trickle down to support the Children's Museum.
That's great.
And
it starts and ends in front of the museum.
It's new to this year. It looks like it's going to start right on 6th Avenue in front of the Children's Museum, which is fantastic. So that's a great way to get out, get fit, support downtown, support Tucson, and also support the Children's Museum. So that would be an indirect way. But then another direct way is we have our Father's Day Weekend Golf Classic. It's our 8th year doing this. It's the Saturday, the day before Father's Day, June 16th. It's at Ventana Canyon. It's a great way to come out, have some fun, and support the Children's Museum. You can buy an individual player, a foursome, tee sign, sponsorship, lots of ways to get engaged and have fun.
And there's a Fat Tire sponsored beer hole.
Wow.
Just to let you know.
That'll be good times.
It is a great, great, great event.
Hopefully it's not hole number one.
which hole was the ninth hole, the 18th hole?
I think the way the scrambles work for somebody, it is hole number one.
That's right.
That's great. So a big golf tournament, your eighth annual at Los Ventana Canyon.
At Los Ventana. It's on the mountain course. It's a great course. Valerie and I had a chance to go out and... Well, I watched her play. I just drove.
I was going to say, it's I'm shocked and stunned that Valerie would want to go out and play golf.
But it's going to be a great day, and it's a great cause, and it's a lot of fun.
That's great. So give us your address one more time.
We are at 200 South 6th Avenue, in downtown Tucson. We're just south of Broadway.
And you're right across from Armory Park.
Right, exactly right. Yeah.
A lot of parking around there?
There's a lot of street parking everywhere around us.
Okay, great. Yeah. Great. And then the last thing, because I know we don't have much time left, you guys have a store inside the museum.
We do. It's called Toyastores. It's our gift shop.
Toyastores?
Yeah. And there's a nod to the dinos.
Awesome.
And it's a gift shop that we have. Many of the items in the gift shop actually translate back to what's going on in the museum of the exhibits. So we have plush stuffed animals that tie back to Pet Vet. We have Kiva building blocks, which go to Build It, our exhibit there, things like that. And we have some books and some other little toys, all sorts of different price points, things like that. And the nice thing about the store, no sales tax. And everything that you buy helps support the Children's Museum's programming and exhibits.
Well, let's talk about some of the big community partners, because obviously, you know, we do have these fundraisers. You have the admission tickets. But we have some really big-hearted corporate friends who make this thing work.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we have to start that list with Tucson Electric Power. They have been our staunchest supporter since the museum opened in 1986. They support the museum not only with the Electricity exhibit, and that exhibit is getting a complete remake this summer, so it's going to be fantastic. Pardon the pun, but we're re-energizing the exhibit.
Only you can get away with that.
Tucson Medical Center was our lead gift and sponsor of Bodyology, and we have Cox, and can't say enough about Cox and everything that they've done for us. We have an exhibit called Techtopia. It bridges technology with literacy, arts, and culture into that exhibit.
We didn't talk about that one earlier.
Yeah, it's another great. We just have to come down and play.
There's a lot going on.
Free up your calendar, come down and play at the Children's Museum.
So let me, and this is a question I'm afraid to ask most people on our show because it's a real hard one to answer. But where do you envision the museum 5 years from now?
Well, I'd like to see that we're doing much of what we're doing now, but just better, and we're touching more kids and families. So we want to continue to be create an opportunity where kids and families collectively can come and spend quality time together, that they can learn and grow and discover, that we have first and foremost fun, but also educational exhibits for them to play and participate with, that we have great programming that support the issues of the day, and that we're able to provide other amenities for them as well.
So. Now, do you think your exhibits will have changed a lot in 5 years?
In the next 5 years? I hope so. You know, not all of them. I mean, good exhibits should last 5 to 10 years, and so when we look at Investigation Station and Bodyology, 5 years from today, I absolutely would expect that they would be there. That doesn't mean that there might be some improvements along the way, because I think that's important.
Sure.
But other exhibits like Ocean Discovery, that will probably become something new in the not-too-distant future. Or WeWorld, our early childhood education room, I think will grow and expand, because that's an area where we need to have a bigger role with our youngest children.
And the thing I like about this museum is that it's moving with technology. I mean, you talked about earlier that before was you push a button and something moves, and now you have really interactive kind of things, and as technology becomes more pervasive in the culture, it becomes less expensive for a museum to acquire. Mm-hmm. The dream of Star Trek, where, you know, the world exists on a pad and you're reading and you're doing all sorts of stuff, and kids are, you know, they have a higher level of education than we would have. Just like a third grader today is, you know, a kindergartner in the future. I mean, it's amazing how this stuff works.
Well, and at the same time, you're interactive.
Absolutely.
So you're just not learning off of a pad. You're actually touching and feeling things.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me. We do have our housekeeping for the raffle. And
not the raffle.
I mean, the what is it?
Trivia question.
Trivia question.
Right.
Why do I have okay, anyways, the trivia question. We're going to give you a dozen roses plus.
Why don't we go twice here? First caller, or first person to email you at fredandfredandjeff.com.
Fred at fredandjeff.com
gets an annual family pass to the Tucson Children, or the museum, Children's Museum of Tucson.
Okay.
Sorry. And then the second one gets a dozen roses from Mayfield Floors.
Perfect.
So, anything else, Fred?
Oh, you have to. How about the question?
Go.
Name one of the three founders of the Children's Museum of Tucson.
Right. Any one of the three ladies. Send that, email that to Fred at fred@fredandjeff.com, and you get one of those prizes. Guys, you make Tucson a great place to live. Keep it up. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.